Today's gospel reading opens with an account of a disciple saying to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." When we look closely at Jesus's reply, we can find, I believe, a wonderful lesson on what we should pray, how we should pray, and why we should pray. So what should we pray? Well, according to Jesus, we should pray the Our Father. We hear him declare, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test." As Catholics, we pray the Our Father every day, don't we? In fact, if we attend daily Mass and pray the Liturgy of the Hours or a rosary every day, we can end up praying the Our Father multiple times a day. I like what Father Paul McCarran, a Jesuit priest who works at the retreat center where I did my pre-ordination retreat, has written about St. Luke's version of the Our Father, because it helps me appreciate more fully how good and true and beautiful this prayer is. He says that Jesus puts into simple petitions some basic lessons he'd been teaching his disciples. The simple petitions are, ask the Father to turn all hearts to himself. Ask him to gather all souls into his kingdom. Ask him to take care of you. Ask the Father to help you notice your failures to forgive. Ask to be forgiven of those failures. And ask the Father to shield your weak trust in him from an ultimate test. Well, what about the second question? How should we pray? Well, according to Jesus, we should pray with shameless persistence. Let's see what we can learn about persistence from today's first parable, the parable of the friend at midnight. But first, let's make sure we understand what's going on in this story. A traveler journeying at night, probably to avoid the heat of the day, visits a friend. The friend welcomes him, but is without bread to offer him. So he goes to the house of another friend to borrow some. That friend, who probably lives in a one-room house where the family members likely sleep close to each other for warmth, doesn't want to get up and answer the door for fear of disturbing his family. It's midnight, after all. Eventually, though, because of his friend's shameless persistence, he gives in and gives him what he needs. Let's ask ourselves, is the point of this parable that if we pray to God with shameless persistence, no matter what we pray for, God will eventually give in and answer our prayer? Is that what Jesus is trying to teach us? No, not at all. The point of this parable is, as one commentator put it, to teach us that if a person can be compelled by a friend's shameless persistence into giving him what he needs, and that's key, what he needs, how much more will God, who is a loving Father, supply our needs? Is it possible that too often we pray for things that God will not supply because he knows they're things we really don't need? And if it is, then is it also possible that after a time we could grow weary of prayer because God isn't supplying the things we're asking for? I believe that Jesus wants us to pray with shameless persistence so that we never grow weary of prayer, that we never lose faith in its power. Which brings me to the last and closely related question. Why should we pray? According to Jesus, I believe, we should pray because it helps us to discover God's will. In the second parable, we hear him say, "I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Notice, Jesus does not say, "Ask and you may receive." He says, "Ask and you will receive." This implies, does it not, that there's no such thing as unanswered prayer. But doesn't the idea of no unanswered prayer contradict the idea that God will not supply the things we pray for but don't really need? Not necessarily. God's answer to prayer, in my view, is always yes, or not yet, or I have a better way. And his better way may be completely invisible to us because it's not at all what we expect. Or his better way could lead us to more clear understanding of what our real need really is and a greater willingness to do what's required of us. A Catholic author once wrote, and I completely agree, a major part of prayer is not only asking, but looking for signs of God's response. In this way, prayer is a kind of discernment of God's will. To see how all this works, let's consider something I came across in a reflection I once read. Suppose someone you know and love is sick and dying, and it's part of God's permissive will to allow that person to die. No measure of prayer for healing on your part is going to improve the status of your loved one's condition. In this situation, you're left with two choices. Either you can continue to offer the same supplication and risk losing your faith in the power of prayer, or you can change what you ask for and see what you receive. What if instead of praying for healing, you invite God into this difficult situation and ask him to allow your loved one to have a peaceful death? If that person ends up dying peacefully, you'll know your prayer helped them. And hopefully you'll realize it helped you too by discerning God's will. Prayers won't change God's mind, but they can transform us and enable us to discover and embrace God's will. Brothers and sisters, can I suggest the next time we pray the Our Father, we thank our Lord for giving it to us as a way to teach us what to pray. And while we're at it, let's promise him we'll pray with persistence, so that we never lose faith in its power. And finally, let's tell Jesus that when we ask for something and we don't get what we expect, we will look hard for signs that we're being led to have a better understanding of what our need really is.